And welcome into Jags of the Round Table, just after the media draft luncheon. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier, Brian Sexton. Let's get to it, guys. Top five, the Jaguars have the number three pick, of course. After hearing Dave and Gus, what would it take to get out of the top three or five?
Well, it sounds like it's going to take a lot. And yet, at the same time, I was listening to the same thing you guys were listening to and hearing Dave talk about how hard it's going to be for a team to get up and how he doesn't, you know, you sort of got the idea there's not going to be a trade. And I kept thinking back to last year when we none of us saw Bortles coming, and I kept thinking this is the pre-draft thing. Maybe he's just aligning for a trade. So, again, you never know. But based on that, I would think no trade, but we'll see.
Well, you know, there's a handful of difference makers in the draft, and that term was used over the course of the luncheon. You know, the question mark is there another difference maker somewhere outside the top five? I mean, maybe he's just trying to draw people up with the term difference maker. Hey, it's going to cost you. And he did talk about losing leverage. You know, personally, I think you can sit right there at number three, and whether you're talking about, you know, a defensive tackle, a defensive end, a wide receiver, you can find a difference maker, and I think we'd all agree this team needs it.
Yeah, I liked hearing that because I've been saying all along, don't trade back if it's going to lose a guy who's an impact guy who other players on this team go, wow, that guy can play.
If they happen to drop back in a trade scenario, at what point do difference makers stop? Is it past the number five pick? Is it the number 10 pick?
Obviously, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I've heard nine. I've heard there's nine guys that are difference makers. And one of those is an offensive lineman, Brandon Scherff. And he's going to be a guard, you know, a Zach Martin kind of guard by most accounts.
They ain't trading back to get him.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't think that they were. So, yeah, you're not looking to go back much past 7, 8, 9. I mean, if Cleveland called and said 12 and 19, plus we'll throw in our second-round pick.
That's the one I think they have a tough time passing up if it happens.
Yeah, but you can't pass that up because you need more players, and you might find a difference maker. You know, who slides, who slips down, and who do you like? But, you know, there are thought to be 8 or 9 difference makers, true difference makers in this draft.
It was interesting to hear Dave talk about he wants a difference maker over a couple of solid players. And what you wonder about your scenario just laid out, does he think 19 is just solid, or is it a difference maker? And I think that's going to be what he wrestles with. He laid out the idea a little bit after everything sort of broke up that maybe you could go back a few spots and still get a difference maker, and that might be enticing. Then all of a sudden you could get back into the first round. I'm putting words in his mouth. Maybe you get back in the first round for running back. But again, I don't think you can go back further than about 6th and get the kind of player they're talking about.
Of course, if you're good at what you do, I think we'd all agree Justin Houston is a difference maker.
Sure.
Led a league in sacks. He was the 70th pick of the draft.
They're not trading back to 70, JP.
Well,
all right,
they're not. They're not. I'm glad I could tee you up for that. You can find difference makers all over the draft, there's no doubt. But you want to get the most value for your first round pick.
And of course, everybody has that one guy they really want. But if that one guy's gone, what's plan B? I know who your one guy is.
Leonard Williams is off the board.
At 70.
No. I can keep going on the guys drafted after 70, by the way. There are lots of them. Robert Mathis, 138. Elvis Dumervil, 126. No, I would take Kevin White, the wide receiver from West Virginia. I like him. I think those two wide receivers are the kind of game-breaking receivers, and there aren't many of them. There are some good ones. But I would go with Kevin White if I couldn't have Leonard Williams.
I would go with Amari Cooper there only because I like safety over high end, and I don't think there's any way in the world that Cooper won't be good. I think if Williams isn't there, I think they take Dante Fowler. But that's not what I would do. I'd take Cooper.
We are less than a week away from the first round of the 2015 NFL Draft, and that's it for today on Jags of the Roundtable.